Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, as you know, we've come to a concluding section in Peter's first epistle. Not the conclusion of the epistle, but the conclusion of a section that began in chapter 2 that talks about the importance of our testimony before unbelievers and different areas of our life that impact that testimony. And he comes to the final area in chapter 3, beginning at verse 8, which has to do with the way that God's people relate to those around them. Generally speaking, he's already dealt with some specific areas, specific people that we relate to that are around us, such as people who work in government, people who are over us on our job, our husband, our wife, and our marriage relationship. But now he comes to a more general statement about the way Christians just relate to people around them in general, which is different from the way most unbelievers relate to people around them. And this brings us to the end of a section, but we won't be at the end until we get to verse 12. We're just getting started in the section now in verse 8. And the first part is Christ-like attitudes, verse 8, and then secondly, Christ-like responses in verse 9. All of you, he says, let me read verse 8. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. All of you. This applies to everyone who is a Christian, everyone who names the name of Christ, everyone who professes to be a Christian. All of you are included in this statement. And what is it that we are to do? Well, that's what we're going to look at on this Wednesday, December 11th. Made possible by the gifts of God's people. Thank you so very, very much. Well, all of you, in general, this is the way you are to relate to those around you. And there are five required attitudes. He has the church primarily in view. Primarily, he's talking about the way we relate to one another in the body of Christ. But the fact of the matter is, if we really relate to those in the body of Christ this way, we are also going to relate to people outside the body of Christ in a similar way. So, how are we to do this? The church is primarily in view. In fact, this really is an ideal portrait of the church. And these are the attitudes that we must have toward other believers. Number one, an attitude of unity. Number two, an attitude of compassion. Number three, an attitude of love. Number four, an attitude of sympathy. And number five, an attitude of humility. These are the attitudes which will give birth to Christ-like responses, to Christ-like actions. So first of all, attitudes, the way we think, the way we feel. And then secondly, the actions that grow out of those attitudes. So what are the required attitudes? Number one, be of one mind. Finally, all of you, be of one mind. That Greek word could be translated same think. Now, Peter's not talking about total conformity, but rather of unity. There are differences in the body of Christ that are enriching. They are not destructive. They are not divisive. And there are some Christians, some church leaders, that don't seem to understand that. And some think that the way to achieve unity is to impose conformity in everything, in the way that you dress, in the way that you behave, the kind of recreation and entertainment that you involve yourself in, and on it goes. If there's the kind of music you listen to, there's got to be total conformity in all of these things if there's going to be unity in the body of Christ. Wrong. Study Romans chapter 12 about Christian liberty. He's not talking about total conformity in every choice that Christians make. He's talking about essential commitment to the same truth, the same doctrine. There must be agreement in these two areas, what I call bottom line doctrine and bottom line behavior. Bottom line doctrine, bottom line behavior. Bottom line doctrine means the essential doctrines of the Christian faith below which you move out of true Christianity. So, for example, we don't have to have conformity in the area of baptism. Now, you do in the same local church, I do believe. But we're talking about something wider than one local church. We're talking about the way we relate to all believers. And this is something that many Christians haven't learned yet, have a hard time learning. They are only going to relate to people of their own church or their own denomination that dot every I and cross every T exactly alike. In other words, they make everything an essential. And I've even had people like this argue with me. Well, what in the Bible is not important? How can you say that anything in the Bible is not important? It's not a matter of saying that there's anything that's not important. I believe the doctrine of baptism is important, okay? I believe it's very important. But I don't believe it's essential. Do you understand the difference? There is a difference. Well, you say, how can you figure out what are essential doctrines as opposed to those that are non-essential? Well, probably by the vantage point of history. We have an advantage on this that the readers in Peter's day didn't have. We can see 2,000 years of church history, and we can see how the church has synthesized essential orthodox doctrine, what we call orthodoxy, how the church has synthesized that in various statements and creeds along the way, which are universal creeds. They are general creeds. They are, and I'm going to use a word here that some of you may not understand at first, but then I will explain it. But they are Catholic creeds, not in the sense of Roman Catholic, but in the sense of universal among all true believers. All true Christians believe in the triune Godhead. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a trinity of persons within one being of deity. Very mysterious doctrine, very difficult doctrine, but that is essential Christian doctrine. To deny that puts you outside the definition of biblical Christianity and so forth. The doctrines that have to do with Christ and have to do with salvation and the way of salvation. These are essential doctrines. Those who deny them put themselves outside of biblical Christianity. Now, in those things, we need to have unity. There must be an attitude of unity among believers. We agree on bottom line doctrine and, I mentioned, bottom line behavior. What is that? The essential behavior, beyond which a person calls into a doubt, calls into question, calls into doubt their Christianity. And you say, what are those? Well, study the passages in the New Testament that deal with church discipline, and you'll figure out what they are. a person who is living in immorality puts himself outside a biblical claim to being a Christian. You say, well, I can't see his heart. I don't know whether he's a Christian or not. I know you can't see his heart, but there is a bottom line behavior that is expected of all Christians, and the church is expected to agree on that, to have unity on that, to conform to that, and therefore to confront those who step outside of that and to call them to repentance and back to biblical behavior. And barring that, if they're not willing to do that, put them outside the church. I know this is all very foreign to many people today, but there are some things that are bottom line Christian behavior. Now, this has nothing to do with hairstyles and dress styles and whether or not you wear jewelry or makeup and some of these things that have become important and essential matters to certain groups, certain denominations, certain sects, S-E-C-T-S, within Christianity, but that's narrowing the circle beyond what the Bible requires, because most of those matters, all of those matters, I believe, depending exactly on how you define them, are going to fall more in the area of Christian liberty, Romans chapter 14. We can't mandate things like that. And so in a healthy church, you will find some women who will wear jewelry and some who will choose not to. Some women who will wear makeup and some who will choose not to. Some women who will wear pants or slacks to church and other women who will choose not to. And these are areas that where we have Christian liberty because the Bible allows us Christian liberty in these areas. But in a healthy Bible-believing church, you are not going to have members of that church who are living with a partner without the benefit of marriage. You're not going to have people who are living in adultery, living in fornication. You're not going to have people who are guilty of habitual public drunkenness and so forth and so on. There are certain things that are bottom-line behavior. You're not going to have people who are constantly lying and cheating and distorting and swindling, who are dishonest in their business practices and affairs and dishonest in their personal finances and are beating people out of their money and owing people money that they don't pay. Those are the kinds of things that are beyond the bottom line behavior of Christians and need to be dealt with by Bible-believing churches. Calling people to repentance. We don't have people in churches who behave that way. That is not Christian liberty. Those things are not optional. Those are required. Those are mandatory. And we need to have an attitude of unity in agreeing what are the essentials and what are not. In the essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And that is the way we relate to one another in the body of Christ. Finally, brethren, all of you, be of one mind. That is, in agreement as to what is essential Christian doctrine and essential Christian behavior, and act toward one another accordingly. Act toward professing believers according to that understanding of God's Word. Very important. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.